The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for paying attention. Thank you for being here. You can visit ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com. Sign up there for the daily email, for my email there. It's not daily, 3-4 times a week, hopefully. It's a Substack. I write, pick things out and send them to you. Also go to PhyllisSchlafly.com, sign up for the daily email there, the wink. Okay, today, what you need to know. What is it you need to know? What is it at the heart of what you need to know? I'll tell you, it's that Congressman Barry Loudermilk of Georgia needs to be thanked. He's a very nice man. I've met him more than a few times. He's very pleasant, very honest and honorable, family man, Christian. Does a wonderful job of tours in the Capitol. He's got history and even scripture, but he's also tough. And so what Barry Loudermilk has done in the last 24 hours has been extraordinary. First, he issued a preliminary report on the January 6th Select Committee. And second, he held hearings on the pipe bombers of January 6th, which I'll talk about first, because my real what you need to know today's wink is really about this report that he put out. So first, he held hearings about the pipe bombers. Now, the pipe bombers, you recall, the pipe bombers placed two bombs. The pipe bomber, it's one person. The pipe bomber placed one bomb at the RNC and one bomb at the DNC. And somehow, magically, the pipe bomber placed these two bombs at about 6:30 on January 5th, 2021. And they had on them a detonator that included a one-hour timer. A kitchen timer. You can picture the timer, the circular thing. You turn it, and it goes ding, and that's that one two. But the two of the each of them had a 1 hour bell, a timer on them, which doesn't make much sense, does it? Because if you wanted to cause trouble, do you really want to cause trouble that night, or is this just a stunt to get attention the next day? Well, here we go. By the time the 1 hour was gone at 7:30 on January 5th, nothing happened because it wasn't really set to go off. But the next day, at about 1:10 in the afternoon, just as Donald Trump is finishing his speech, someone goes out and discovers the pipe bomb by the RNC, and someone somehow, a law enforcement, undercover plainclothes law enforcement, notices the other one at the DNC, and now all heck breaks loose. And there's talk about pipe bombs on the Capitol, pipe bombs, and everybody's even more scared than they were. And then things get even more out of hand. So what's going on here? Almost 3.5 years later, I guess it's only 3 and 2 months, we have nothing from the FBI. There's video of the person who did this, the pipe bomber, from every angle, up and down the blocks, around the DNC and the RNC. They're relatively close to each other. You can see the person's, they got a mask on. It's COVID time, so they got a mask on, they got a hoodie on, they got a glasses on, jacket heavy because it's cold day. We got nothing. No leads, no tips, no nothing, no arrests. The FBI has been unable to get a lead or a tip on the bombing, at least if you listen to them on January 6th, 7th, 8th, and for months afterwards, the bombing of two of our major party, the two major parties' headquarters, and we have no leads, nothing. Something smells, right? Something stinks to high heaven. And so Congressman Loudermilk held a hearing. The FBI refused to show up because they said it's an ongoing investigation. They refused to show up. So he's got to try to have a hearing on what's going on. As I can tell you, as his team, I've talked to them, would say, I'm using my words, if the FBI and others won't brief the public on this, we will. All we have is what's available to us, they would say. And so trying to get to the bottom of it, it's a scandal. Now, it looks to me like the bombs weren't real bombs. They might have had a bomb-like equipment in them. You know, they had some black powder and such, but they detonated one of them. I don't know if they detonated the other one. They detonated one of them, the one by the DNC on camera. You can see it, and they have to work really hard, and then it goes pop. It's mostly like the pop from the detonating device that's, you know, pushing it to detonate. So we don't know what's going on, but by now we can say, we don't trust that the FBI or anybody else that they're telling us the truth. But here's what I'd say. If the FBI really can't find out what happened, it's because somebody more power, either the FBI is corrupt, which I'm not willing to say yet, or someone bigger than the FBI has made it so they can't figure it out. Think about that. I remember someone told me afterwards that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the head of the military, has a lot of special ops things going on. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying something bigger than the FBI is needed to hide this. Because the FBI has the tools to find something like this. So that's the first thing. Congratulations to Congressman Barry Loudermilk for doing what he's doing. But I want to go back because it's being lost already in time. Barry Loudermilk's committee, it's the House Administration Subcommittee, has a subcommittee on January 6th, and he's in charge of it, Congressman Barry Loudermilk. And they're the ones that release the videos, are the ones that do a lot of different things. They put out a preliminary report, and the preliminary report says basically, we don't really know a lot about January 6th because we can't trust what the Select Committee did with $19 million over an 18-month period, because we now know that they deleted, I don't know, a terabyte of data. They deleted hundreds and hundreds of videos. They hid documents. They came up with the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson at the last minute. It looks like she either perjured herself or her testimony is faulty, her memory's faulty. It looks like perjury to me. But on and on and on. It's not trustworthy. But buried in this report, only about two or three paragraphs, is a detail that I want to point you to. Because we are now in the midst of a conspiracy, and the conspiracy is really a coup. Now, I don't usually say conspiracy. Oh, you know, in Davos, there's eight people that are meeting to set the world agenda. I don't usually go for that. In this case, we have an actual conspiracy, because in this document, there is now a paper trail between Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Fulton County, who has had so many conflicts of interest and all, but and the Select Committee. So Fannie Willis is working with the Select Committee to bolster her case. The Select Committee is deleting documents, deleting terabytes, deleting video, deleting, 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 lying to the public, spending tens of millions of dollars on it. And we have the DOJ managing the details. And we have, as I will talk in a few minutes with Mike Davis, I'm going to ask him about this. Might talk to him tomorrow. I don't know if we'll get to him today. I don't see my calendar in front of me. But there's a guy named Matthew Colangelo, who's the number three. Actually, I think he's on the staff of the number three at DOJ. I'm not sure he was the number three. He might have been acting. But he's a senior DOJ political appointee. And Alvin Bragg up in New York says, I'm not going to prosecute Trump. There's nothing here. Until Matthew Colangelo resigns from his job in D.C. at DOJ and suddenly gets hired in New York City at the DA's office, and they bring those charges. My point here is you don't have to actually wonder if there is a conduit for the conduct by these prosecutors. There's clear evidence. And what we need to keep going, and thank you to Barry Loudermilk for putting that out there, the Fannie Willis connection, the one that's in that report, we need to keep going and get to the bottom. This looks like a conspiracy. And what the conspiracy is in furtherance of, I'm not really sure yet. Is it, false prosecution? Is there a claim for, I think it's civil rights violations, because you have civil rights even if you're not a African-American or a minority. We have certain rights in this country. But Barry Loudermilk is, again, shining a light on this stuff. And we need more members to demand to know what's the story, to demand to know what's happening here, to get to the bottom of exactly what the coordination, the participation is between all these parties. And when we do, I think it looks to me like we're going to find that it was a grand conspiracy engineered this way. Jack Smith, same thing. So the four prosecutions are done by Jack Smith, two of them. He's obviously got ties to the administration, clearly. We've got this Alvin Bragg. He's got Matthew Colangelo from the DOJ, who's not on his staff. And now we have Fannie Willis. It closes the circle. It closes the circle very, very well. It makes it pretty clear. We're not dealing with people who are seeking justice. We're dealing with people who are seeking Trump. And that is not supposed to happen in America. That is not supposed to be what's happening in the United States of America. It's incredible. It's incredible to see. All right. That's what we've got. We'll take a break in a moment. We'll come right back. Don't forget, visit ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com. Sign up there for the daily, for my emails that come out of there. I think I'll get one yet later today. But that closes the circle. I can't believe it, by the way. It's so obvious now. I mean, I can't believe the evidence is all out there on this conspiracy. So, all right, we'll take a break. Be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. It's time to catch up with our old friend, Lord Conrad Black. He's been a frequent guest on the program, and he, of course, has a book out, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars. We have had him on. He's a prolific author. He's written on a number of books. And, of course, he's also been someone who has been at the midst of publishing. He's published owned and published a number of newspapers all over the world, been involved in politics and a keen observer. So welcome back, Lord Black. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm glad to be back with you, Ed.
Well, thank you. So first, a few observations on the State of the Union, if you have some, and your thoughts. Again, you're a great observer of world politics, but I'd say even more, if you narrow that down, English-speaking politics, you've seen it all up close, been a part of some of it. What was that State of the Union? What'd you think?
I thought he did a pretty good job of rallying his own Democrats and showing that he was vigorous and a fighting leader.
Yep.
And probably setting at ease some of the concerns about his energy level. I don't think that's necessarily bad news for the Republicans. Ed, you and your listeners have to pardon me. I'm slightly hoarse because I'm recovering from COVID. But so I thought in his primary objective to solidify his own party, he probably did well. In attacking Trump, attacking the Supreme Court, and saying a number of things that most people would know were really not true about how the so-called immigration crisis got so serious, and ignoring problems like inflation and rising crime, which he also denied, I think he did not make that much headway opposite independents or Republicans. But I think in his primary objective of firming up his own position and probably putting a stop, at least for a time, to any talk of another candidate, he did well. And that was his main objective. So
yeah,
I think he did. Right.
Well, I think that's right. And if you're giving that speech and you're in the Oval Office or you're talking to him, I think he was at Camp David, you say, what do we want to do? The one thing is you got to show high energy and not mess up in a way that people say you're a doddering old fool. In fact, I think it was intentional. It may have just been old Joe doing it, but he stayed a lot longer than most presidents do in the chamber, talking to people afterwards and interacting. And it was all happening. At least I was watching C-SPAN, it was happening with enough microphone that you could hear. And it was banter. And it was, I mean, I think he's kind of seems like a silly man, but it was lively. And so to your point, there's not a lot of talk about he can't be a candidate. But I want to ask you again, we're talking Lord Conrad Black, and he's got his newest political and strategic history of the world. When I heard him say he knows Hitler, and the very first opening part of this was Hitler was who we feared. Now we fear Hitler in Putin and Hitler at home in his predecessor. That's like, it feels amateurish, but it also feels dangerous.
It's spooky a bit, yeah. And it's nonsense. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who don't like Trump, but the reason they don't like him, almost all of those who don't like Trump don't like his style.
Right.
But they don't. We've had him for 4 years as president. He's not Hitler.
Right. Exactly. That's how I feel. But I feel
I've been listening to these speeches since Eisenhower's time. This is the first time any president attacked a political opponent in a State of the Union speech. It's just never done. It's the State of the Union, not the state of my candidacy for president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I guess he thought he had to do it because I don't know. He thought he had to do it. It strikes me as, again, maybe that's a different question for you. Lord Conrad Black is our guest. You owned and ran many newspapers, and you've been a writer yourself. Why isn't more of the press saying how outside of the norm that was? I just don't see that. They want to focus on something else. Imagine if anyone else had done it. If George W. Bush had done it, it would have been a story for weeks about how off kilter that was, and it gets ignored.
Yeah, and if Trump had done it, they would have tried to impeach him.
Yeah, they would have. That's exactly right.
I'm afraid we just have to face the fact that Trump himself said in his remarks on Super Tuesday night that the press is dishonest and biased.
Yeah. All right.
Not
now,
all of it, most
right.
Of
now,
it.
Right. Right. Now that's, but so now back to history, which is the topic of your book. In history, were they always this biased? Again, I had an interview with a senior intelligence official, a retired Mike Waller, who wrote a book on, it's called Big Intel. And he basically said he spent his whole career working in the CIA and the related fields. And when he looks at it right now, it looks backwards. He says, we got off base. But I think the argument is it's only in the last 10 years that our intelligence community has gotten so far off kilter. Is that the same with the media? I mean, was it always like this?
No. Going back, as unfortunately I'm old enough to do, to the Nixon Kennedy election,
right?
You could tell that most of them favored Kennedy, but right, they weren't grossly unfair to Nixon. They didn't say Nixon is bad. They just said, we like Kennedy,
right?
Which is a different thing. Here, the media, most of the national political media are going to completely unprofessional and dishonest lengths to destroy Trump, and he's running against them. And you know, the polls show only 15% of the people trust the national political media, so they don't even have the trust of the partisans of those whom they're supporting. Even the Biden supporters know the press isn't honest.
So, which brings me to history. When you wrote this book, and you've written other works of history, I feel that a lot of our history has been fake history. That, in other words, I know history is written by the winners, but I wonder. Maybe I should say it that way. I wonder if we're getting something that's not quite right. How do you answer that? Because somewhere between thinking everything is fake and every institution is worthy of our distrust, we have to function. And so, you know, was history deeply flawed, the writers of history, in the last 100, 200 years?
I wouldn't say that. You know, Napoleon famously said history is lies agreed upon. And that's too cynical a view. But what you do is, you know, you've got a range of historical opinions. And there is a range. I mean, today there's vivid discussion still about, say, FDR. He still has people who think he was, disloyal and misdirected, and people who think he was a saint. That's all right. Look, every country has a mythos, and every country in its mythos somewhat exaggerates its own virtue. Nothing wrong with that. All countries do it. But this latest phenomenon that we've had in the U.S. and elsewhere, that our country is rotten, it's terrible, it's evil. The U.S. was set up as a slaveholding operation. This is rubbish, but most people don't believe it. I think it's a phase that you pass through. There was very little audible dissent to American patriotic self-regard for centuries. You had Howard Zinn and a few leftists, but that was all. Now we've had a full airing of theories that, you know, Washington was a crook and the whole thing is a white racist operation, nonsense right. like that. It'll pass through like, I don't want to get too eschatological here, but something you're happy to leave in the toilet, you know?
Well said. That was a good finish. All right. Thank you, Lord Conrad Black. Again, his book, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars in 14 AD. Thank you, as always. Great to have you on, especially after the State of the Union. I smiled when you said you've heard a lot of these speeches. I bet you have. So thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks very much, Ed. Glad to be back.
Okay, thank you. Lord Conrad Black, I will put a link up to his book and a whole lot more, and we'll take a quick break and be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Once again, to my listeners, I say, sorry, I didn't record our conversation. I was just talking offline with our next guest, Judd Dunning, and it was probably as interesting as everything we're going to talk about. He was telling me he's had a varied career. He's been a professional actor. He's been a professional finance guy. He is currently the host of Unapologetic with Judd Dunning on KABC AM 790. He also does Bullet Point Nation with Fox Michael Loftus. He's doing a lot of things, and his voice now, he's an author. As I mentioned, he's a host, producing, and he's we were just talking off the air about, he goes back and forth to different parts of the country to take care of. California's got beautiful weather, but you got to watch the rest of it. And you may see him on Newsmax. That's where I saw him actually recently. Humanex publishes his book. So welcome, Judd. How are you?
Great to be here, man. Thanks for, doing what's most important, which is keeping these airways full of truth.
Well, you're nice to say it. So, hey, we were talking and you've got a piece about the State of the Union. Walk me through your response and your thoughts as you watched it. And I may ask it like this, Judd. When people hear you talk, and I've looked at your stuff online and all, you're not coming at it from politics. You're not a politician. That's unapologetics always in your stuff. But, you watch that. I watched it and I've watched 100 of them. That's not fair. I've watched whatever number, but I've watched old ones. I've read them. I saw it for what I thought it was. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, one of the most interesting studies beyond what I just wrote was they did a parallel. I don't know, so the video is circulating of 22, 23, and 24.
Yeah.
It is so interesting. It is the same hollow platitudes about insulin. It's the same platitudes about student credit. I mean, he barely changes his narrative at all. And I opened up, I have to share this. I've never done this in politics. They say he who quotes Hitler loses, right? And I want to share this with you because he's got this angry vitriolic. He's on speed, which is a big thing of their whole movement. The first quote I opened up my article with was this one. Freedom is lost gradually from uninterested, uninformed, and uninvolved people, Thomas Jefferson. And then my second quote, now listen to this if you saw the speech. All great movements are popular movements. They are volcanic eruptions of human passion and emotion, stirred into activity by the ruthless goddess of distress, or by the torch of the spoken word cast into the midst of people. Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
Right? So there's nothing good about life under Biden, no matter how loudly he yells at us. And that was my point. That's how I opened it up, because really he's definitely gaslighting, distracting, flipping, and weaponizing in that hard left progressive playbook. The second he came out, there was so many oversights. I mean, America bounced back regardless of Biden from the pandemic, period. There's nothing else that really happened. There's nothing positive what he's done. We've just continued to be great Americans regardless of Biden.
We're talking again with Judd Dunning, and we're talking about his observations. It's a pretty good one on that. Well, but may I ask you this, Judd? You would be somebody who spent the better part of two careers, one in finance, I know, but one in for lack of a better term, Hollywood or acting and all. And last night the Oscars? I mean, some big part of American life is how people perceive what's going on, not the truth. And so when you say that Biden's been saying the same jive, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, it doesn't do him. But he gets up there and basically calls Trump Hitler, and then basically goes on to say everybody that's against him, which is half the country at least, are evil people. There's a whole. And then over the weekend, I was just ranting about it. George Stephanopoulos puts Nancy Mace on the spot, talking about how he's alleging that Trump is this and that when he worked for scummy Bill Clinton. I don't spend my time talking about Bill Clinton. But the point here is the power of the media and the government to frame who someone is. We're stuck with that, even though you and I look at it and go, they're lying.
Yeah, it's very interesting, too, because there is this ending that he's done that I've never seen, which is expecting somebody to embrace your decline passionately without questioning. Or now we have this new addition to that statement, which is or else. We've seen a weaponized
right.
We've seen a lawfare. We know we're being tracked if we're highly conservative. I got audited twice during the Obama weaponization of toward conservatives of the IRS. I mean, it costs me money. I've had during COVID, because I was having like men's meetings at every Friday at my house, like 5 feet. We got our house got condemned by our neighbors because people were calling us in. Cost us $100,000. There's now consequences to this cancel culture, lawfare culture. So it's a really, really interesting thing. Now there is a meta threat in the back of our head because we've seen what's happened to the president. And God bless that guy, man. I mean, many greater men would fold up and just go into depression retreat. I have to say it's one of the greatest examples of the grit of Americanism I've seen.
Well, I agree with you. I know with some interview where Trump said, I'm not like other people. I think that's, he's proven that. We're talking with Judd Dunning, by the way. Again, one of the things that Judd's doing is very helpful. He's got a Newsmax insider column. It's called Bullet Point Nation. He writes there frequently. I'm looking at the archive, as Trump is targeted, so are we. A few weeks ago, Restore America with these top 20 conservative resolutions. And more recently, we're talking about the State of the Union, as well as our families are not safe until Trump's law and order returns. But back for a second, though, Judd, again, America hates bullies. And what I keep telling people is that we've now, on a schoolyard, when you go to school, let's say there's 12 guys on the school. Let's make it guys because it's you and me. And there's one guy who's a big guy. He can be a bully. And there's one kid who's really smart and slick and with his mouth, he could be a bully. But if you have a good teacher, the teacher's going to say, no bullying, everybody. And they're going to hold things together. We're living in a world, in a country, in America, where the bullies are being not just run by the teacher. They're like, they are the teacher. And so you give it a great example of your life. You, the bullying you're going through, it's not going to make headlines that you get your house got complained and all, but it's costing you money. And more importantly, it's making you think twice about the next time somebody's doing something. Do I have to worry about what they're looking at me? Right. I mean, we're being bullied. We're being held hostage by bullies in this country.
Yeah, thus the term bully pulpit. Yeah, exactly. It's a really interesting movement, isn't it? The last 20 years, the corporatization of media. You know, that's why I love radio, because radio is probably the freest format. I'll go on Newsmax. I love Newsmax, right? But when you get on the television, there's only a short amount of time. The advertisers can come in. They want you to support their ideological bent. Get on there. Be quick. Be telegenic. Even on the right, there's been this real distortion of media the last 20 years, and it supports everything. Flip, as I said, flip, distract, and weaponize. I mean, they'll just take a lie, quickly throw it into the media cycle, move to the next thing, and brush it. I mean, why are we still talking about Hunter? Why are we still not talking about Biden's discussions in the Ukraine? right now. That's really the main reason nobody should elect him. If I may, though, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to point out a few main points that I put in this article that people are forgetting that are the main flip side to Soto. May I do so for 10 seconds?
Yeah, please. Go ahead. Yeah, please, please. So, yes.
60% of Americans perceive that we're in decline. Inflation is the highest in 40 years. Consumer prices are up 17.1%. Gas prices have gone up overall about 50.3%. Real work weekly earnings has fallen 4% adjusted for inflation. Food prices have surged 21% in 3 years. That's a stark increase. There was 18% growth over the last 11 years. So just hold that in context.
Wow.
You know, shrinkflation is another 10% in unit prices by losing the size of packaging. And wages can't keep up. America is now at its highest point of credit card, $1.1 trillion, a 5% jump just in the last quarter. Public debt has increased 22.5% under him. Our deficit is 1.7. Wow. You know, I mean,
we've got
a massive, massive, massive problem. And his new forward budget, which wasn't even talked about, is massive, like $73 trillion, $58 trillion in taxes, $14.4 trillion in debt. I mean, he's got this, like, he's going to run us off the cliff, and he wants us to applaud as we're going. I think what happened, the supply side worked for 4 years, and right when it works, because then we were going to really prosper, they destroyed him. And we have the capacity to come back, but not with Biden.
Well, I got to say, I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad you haven't been cowed by the voices that have tried to silence so many people. I'll forward you, Judd, an essay, "The Power of the Powerless," that was written in the 1970s behind the Iron Curtain, and that will describe, I think, some of what we see when people are just, you know, kind of cowed into quiet. So glad you're not doing that. And again, I will put up some links to his Newsmax column. Where is Newsmax? His name is Judd Denning, and he also is on Unapologetic with Judd Denning. And I'm sure we can stream that online. I know what you can. And I'm writing another book coming out soon. So thanks, Judd. We'll have you back on again. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I'll give you my one pitch. You can follow me on Twitter, Judd Denning, which is 3Ds, 2N, Judd Denning, or on our website. It's an honor to be here. Y'all have a great day. God bless America.
Thanks very much, Judd. I'll make sure to put that up to his X handle. He called it Twitter, but it's X handle now. We're trying to help keep the brand moving. Anyway, we'll take a break and be right back. Ed Martin here at the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily commentary continuing the conservative pro-family legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
With so many issues that we face as a nation today, we're in desperate need of unity. Unfortunately, President Joe Biden and his political allies only seem to be causing disunity. For example, take the issue of immigration. Texas and Texas citizens are being forced by the Washington, D.C. elite to continue to accept every single day many thousands of impoverished, illiterate, and illegal aliens. The citizens of this red state are irate. And yet when they act by sending the illegal aliens to a blue state like New York, they're attacked in the media and by the political leadership in that blue state. What's odd about this is states like California and even other cities like San Francisco made a big deal about designating themselves as a haven for illegals. Another issue causing disunity is lawfare, the use of the law to attack political opponents. Joe Biden and his allies are using the law against citizens, for example, in the cases of January 6 defendants. But perhaps the most obvious example is the lawfare against Donald Trump. Trump now faces lawsuits and actions against him in D.C., in Georgia, in Florida, and especially in New York in three different matters. It has even happened in some blue states that they're seeking to take Donald Trump off of the ballot. And all of this ratchets up the disunity. The Supreme Court has a special role in America, and it should recognize that its job is to reduce the kinds of conflicts that are arising between our states. The High Court recently took swift action to intervene by accepting one of Donald Trump's requests for review of the exclusion of him from the ballot by Colorado. Yet the Supreme Court risks doing too little too late on the many crises pulling our country apart. They need to act now on the many cases and issues they're faced with to bring unity, especially when our president is so focused on disunity.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Our mission, clearly stated at phyllisschlafly.com, is to enable and mobilize grassroots activism on behalf of cherished conservative values. You're encouraged today to go online and read the goals we support and those we oppose. Then join us. That's phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and come back next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Hyde again, filling in, guest hosting here for Mr. Ed Martin today, and glad to be back with you to wrap up the show. What a good one. And I just wanted to come back in, and I got a couple of thoughts to offer. We always talk on this program about being informed, about going and finding out for yourself, following the facts. What is it? Ed's phrase, distrust and verify. That's a good motto in today's world, with a world full of fake news. We really are responsible more than ever for finding our own information and facts, for doing the legwork, for being citizen journalists, since the journalists aren't doing their job anymore. Now, make no mistake, there are still good resources. There are great places out there. We talk about them all the time. In fact, we have a lot of their folks on. People who write at American Greatness, folks who are over at the Epic Times, Just the News, Newsmax. There are good places who are writing good stories, who are speaking the truth, who are finding real facts that aren't just the mainstream media, that are all driven by the same slavery narrative, pro-establishment, pro-machine, to support this regime that is currently in place, the Biden administration, the leftist move that we're seeing. There are good places. However, I would like to encourage you once again to consider a lot of the resources that we put together, because there are a lot of places that move fast and furious. It kind of gets lost every single day under the news cycle. There's just no way to help that. The news moves so fast that some of these places have to keep up with what's being talked about. And then there are a lot of fantastic organizations, but they advocate for just one thing, or they really have their one big issue and they talk about a few others. And I have no fault for any of these things. It's just pick and choose, each to its own. But there is a really neat legacy here at Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And this is kind of what I wanted to bring up. There's a really cool legacy of not only going into several different topics. Phyllis has a huge legacy across the pro-family movement, the fight for life against abortion in America, the fight for traditional marriage, both legally and culturally, the fight for religious liberty, all of these different things. There's also this huge history of fighting for constitutionalism, for a sound judiciary, for responsible fiscal policies, for sovereignty-first border and immigration policies. Across all of the spectrum, there's just this wonderful wealth of fundamental conservative principles being applied across the field of issues that face us today. And even though Phyllis isn't with us anymore, she passed away in 2016, we still carry on that mission. And even though we don't claim to be right and to know exactly what to do on every single issue, all the jots and tittles, we want to have the conversations. And we have those conversations out loud for everyone to hear and to participate in. And there is an incredible wealth of knowledge. This program, the Pro America Report, is kind of a part of that. It's under the umbrella. Obviously, we're on the Salem Radio Network here, streaming out of San Diego, and it gets, Dopplered. I don't know if that's the correct word. It gets ported into several other places as well. You might be listening to this on the radio in St. Louis or down south, or you might just be listening online to the podcast. But nonetheless, this is one of those connected things, but there are several others. I am proud to be able to host a great live stream program on Thursdays, and I don't say that because of me. It's a great program. We talk about a lot of interesting stuff, and we actually talk. Mason, the co-producer of this program, he and I sit down every Thursday at noon on our live stream program called Unauthorized Caucus, and we talk about these things. We pick a topic or two, and we actually have out the conversation. People hop into the chat, and we talk about it. John and Andy Schlafly write a fantastic column, and it laser focuses into an issue, brings in tons of historical concepts and perspective and context. That's not concepts, context. That's the word I was looking for. It pulls a lot of great stuff together each and every week. Every Tuesday night it comes out. You can go to phyllisschlafly.com, and then it echoes across all kinds of places. WorldNet Daily, my goodness, I can't speak today. WorldNet Daily carries it. Townhall.com carries it. So many other fantastic places. echo that column out into the world, and it just keeps going. There are great things that come from here. The Education Reporter, that's another one that's just absolutely incredible. Our Education Reporter editor, Sue Kunstman, just does an incredible amount of research, and there are wonderful articles that really hone in on the education issue, book review, all kinds of great stuff available every single month over at edreporter.org, edreporteronline.org. There is great stuff. And I can't even tell you how important it is to go and be educated, to go and just fill yourself and your own knowledge with context, with little things here and there that you can recall. You don't have to know everything all at once, but you need to know a little bit of the connectors to be able to critically think about things and plug it in and put things in their place and decide where we should or shouldn't as Americans land on these issues. Let me encourage you, go over to phyllisschlafly.com, proamericareport.com, where Ed does his writings. You'll find all the stuff again for this program, but also there is where you're going to find the Education Reporter. You're going to find John and Andy Schlafly's weekly column. You're going to find the Phyllis Schlafly Report monthly newsletter. You're going to find the Education Reporter, which has been out since 1986. There are so many incredible resources, and this is just the one organization that has a well-rounded view. Again, there's several others, and you'll hear us reference them and talk about them. I can't even stress to you, as much as Ed talks about and is absolutely correct, we must distrust and verify. Where do you go to verify? This is it. I'm making that pitch. I would love, and I'm appealing to you to do that. There are great programs as well here on the Salem Radio Network that you're going to hear from also that are going to talk about all these issues in long forum, and we're going to flesh it out. And how does that connect? It is more important than ever before to not only be informed and to be consuming these kinds of sources and resources, but it is important to be having those conversations with family and friends, because we got a lot of people who I think at base agree with us on a lot of the issues, a lot of these things that really are common sense, not the fake common sense things, that political phrase that the Democrats like to use, real, honest to goodness, logical, common sense things that are better for America and better for her people. That's what we need to be listening to, consuming, processing, and then talking about to other people who we know agree with us, but they are battered every day by the fake news narrative machine that we must beat back. So distrust and verify, but there are some places to go and verify. Thank you for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thank you for being the wonderful listeners that you are, the great family we have here to talk to every single day. Thank you to Ed for being such a wonderful host, and Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything running in the background. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget, go to proamericareport.com and Phyllis Schlafly.com. Grab today's show, share it with a friend, and we will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow on the next edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.